Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Travis. I may need to let you preach soon because, man, you've been on fire lately. So thank you. It's great to see you guys here today. And like they said, we're going to be kind of finishing up this series. It's been about 16 weeks, 15, I think, that we've gone through the book of Revelation, 22 chapters. We're going to do the last two chapters today. And lots of judgment, but not today. Today we're going to talk about, you know how you heard of the hell, fire, and brimstone sermons where, you know, people get scared into following Jesus Christ? Now, if it works, it works, you know. Not my style, but if it works, it works. But today we're going to talk about the great things that are before us. If you would like to do some further study, we have a study guide like this for every one of the sermons. You can download it, but there's one for you to pick up today on your way out. They're on the little table by the door, and you can pick that up, and that'll cover some of the things that I talk about this morning. But last week I was away, and Tyler did a great job. I listened to the sermon, and he did great in chapter 20. As the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation period, which is still future right now, and Christ will return in the clouds, and then a seven-year time of tribulation will come to the earth. And during that time, Antichrist will come to power, but ultimately, Jesus will win that battle. And the tribulation comes to an end, and the millennial kingdom begins, which is a thousand-year reign. Now, if you're visiting or if you're here for the first time, this is all new to you, don't worry. It's okay. You can go back and listen, or you can just hear the end, okay? Because we're going to get to the really important parts of this. But in that millennial kingdom, Jesus is ruling and reigning, and at the end of the thousand years, Satan is released one more time. He's released in the earth, and he is defeated once and for all, and the final judgment takes place. And this morning, we're going to pick up where Tyler left off in chapter 21 as we get a description of the new heavens and the new earth. Now, probably some of you didn't know that for a while, when Christ returns, we're going to live on this earth and in the present heaven. But at the end of a thousand years, there's kind of a new heavens and a new earth. And we're going to look at that. And I want to set the stage for you with a personal update. Something that's going on in our lives. And Tony and I are, we love our present home. We really like it. I have, like, my backyard is an oasis where I meet with God on a regular basis. It's just incredible. I have an 8-foot fence. I feel like I'm separate from the whole world, all the chaos in the world. The Lord told me, he said, Joe, you have a place to meet with me. In the midst of all the chaos out there, don't worry about it. You just meet with me, and we love our home. It's really wonderful. But we are going to be building a new and what we think will be our final home and here in the Arlington area, and it might be soon. And the way this whole thing started was my son Chris and his wife Kelsey, they're looking at building a home. And they said, Dad, why don't you, it's going to be an area with about 6 houses, a little bit out, kind of on the edge of Arlington, Mansfield. And they're like, why don't you move on the street with us? Now, that's hard to turn down. Thinking grandkids are coming. So we're thinking about seriously considering building this last and final home. Now, that's exactly what's going to happen in the scriptures after the millennial kingdom, after the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, just again, so Christ returns. If you die before Christ returns, then your spirit, your body stays, but your spirit goes to heaven to be with the Lord, okay, and you're with him there. But when Christ returns, the dead in Christ rise first. People who have died as believers, their bodies, their spirits are in heaven, but their bodies are resurrected. And then it says, the dead in Christ rise first, then those who are alive and remain until the Lord's coming will be caught up or raptured. Christians, in the moment that Christ returns, will be raptured, caught up, and will meet the Lord in the air. And at that point, the tribulation begins. It's 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, Christ rules and reigns on this planet. Okay? people that are alive at the end of the tribulation, they'll go into the millennial kingdom with their bodies. We, as those who have died or been raptured, will get our new bodies. It's an amazing body. I was talking to the Lord and last night, and he told me how tall I was going to be in heaven. No need for this stage. I'm kidding. But our bodies, it's an amazing body we get. It's absolutely amazing. And you can listen. I can't update you on everything right here. I'll never get to this morning's thing. But then we'll be able to be in the heavens, okay, and we'll come to earth, and Christ is ruling and reigning. People that were alive and went into the millennial thousand-year kingdom, they will be getting married and procreating and all kinds of things will happening. But those of us who are Christians now will have been caught up, received our new bodies, and we can go to heaven, we can go to the earth, we can we're going to be around in the entire universe. It's an amazing thing. But at the end of the thousand years, we are going to get our new and final home. New and final home. So let's pick up now in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Now remember, the book of Revelation, it's written to describe a vision that was being shown to John the apostle that he has written out, and he's tried to describe it to us. Okay, so let's go to 21, and we're going to go through two chapters, read a lot of scriptures. I want you to sit back, and I want you to relax, and I want you to see the benefits of following Jesus Christ in this life. When you choose to follow Jesus Christ, you know that song we sang, Surrender, I Surrender All? Why wouldn't you surrender to someone who has the keys to the entire universe, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and wants to spend eternity with us? Surrender. I was singing that song, Lord, surrender. Maybe I'm growing as a Christian. I think I am growing. I want to keep growing. And I was saying, Lord, why would I not? There are times Lord, I surrender. Okay, I surrender. And I'm at a place in my life now where I'm like, of course I surrender. You have everything because then you give it back to me and it's better. And it has meaning. So let's see what's coming. Chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. John, in a vision, is seeing this. For the first heaven and the first earth, that's this one, has passed away, and the sea was no more. So after Jesus' rule and reign on the present earth for 1,000 years, the heavens and the earth will be replaced with a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 2. And I saw the holy city. It's not Arlington, okay? It's not Brooklyn, okay? I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, John is looking at a vision, and he sees a new heavens and a new earth, and he sees coming down from heaven the New Jerusalem, this city. Does this help you perhaps understand why there's such a fierce battle in the Middle East over the Promised Land? Do you understand that there are things that God has put in place that will happen? That land is a sacred and holy land. He gave it to the nation of Israel. Okay, and Jerusalem is the capital city. Now, you're going to see more about this as you begin to understand, as we unfold the truth of what's coming for us. Verse 3, it says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, nor coronavirus, nor masks, nor social distancing. For the former things have passed away. Now Jesus speaks. And again, John is seeing a vision. It's unfolding before his eyes, and he's trying to write down what he sees. Verse 5, Jesus shows up. And he who was seated on the throne said, Jesus, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, he said to John in this vision, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the springs of the water of life without payment. It's free. That water, that incredible, it's free, without payment. Verse 7, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. All things are made new for those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb, as we know, is Jesus. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. In contrast, unbelievers experience the second death, and their destination is the lake of fire. Now, John is given a closer look at the New Jerusalem. Verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. Now, there was an angel that came. There were plagues. This has already taken place. And plagues were being poured out on the earth during the seven-year tribulation period. And one of the angels who came out and was orchestrating some of the judgments of God on the earth that will take place during that seven-year tribulation, one of the angels came and spoke to John and said this, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Now, he's referring to the bride. It's like the Lamb. Jesus is the bridegroom. He's the Lamb. These are all symbolic things. The church is the bride of Christ. Now, it's hard for me to say I'm a bride, okay? You're not going to catch me in, I'm not Dennis Rodman. I'm not going to put on a wedding gown, okay? You have to be a little bit older to know that, okay? But these are symbolic things where Christ is the groom, and the bride of Christ is the church. Okay, and also, New Jerusalem is called the bride of the Lamb. So there are symbolic things that talk about a unique and special relationship. See, my wife and I were married. I keep getting mixed up. I think it's 34 years on September 7th, but you're saying it'll be 33. Okay. So we're married for 33 years, and my wife and I, in many different ways, we share life together. She's my life partner, and we experience intimacy, a special relationship. She's my wife, 33 years. And honey, I was thinking about it. I was like, man, I love her. I was just thinking that. Isn't that a gift from God to have someone to walk through life with? And man, I love her, and I think you're beautiful. I told her the other day, I said this, you can admit it. I said, honey, you're the most beautiful woman in the whole church. But I'm talking about universal, the whole church, like all across the world. And you know, I don't mean to be insulting any of you other women, but in my eyes, that's what she is. See, and that's the unique relationship. Jesus is the groom, and we're his bride. Okay? Now, isn't it, and part of your beauty is what's inside of you, your commitment to me, your faithfulness, your loyalty to me. Okay? Can you imagine if she was out, you know, oh, honey, I'm going out. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going out a couple of bars tonight. A couple of guys I'm going to be meeting up with. You know, it's not special. You're my husband, but I just got a couple of things on the side I like to do. I'm like, I don't think she's that beautiful anymore, okay? You can't even imagine that, right? Is it different for us to adulter ourselves to other things when Christ wants to be our groom? See, the The symbolism is there so we understand that, see, honey, you're my earthly wife, okay? But I am actually married to Jesus. Well, we're not married, but I'm in an intimate relationship with him, and I am completely committed to him. And then he tells me, now, Joe, you, if you want to be completely committed to me, you be completely committed to her. And he puts it all together. So we're reading about this stuff. Now look at this new Jerusalem, verse 9. It says, where are we here? I get off on these tangents and then I can't find my place, okay? Verse 9. Oh, one of the seven angels came, okay. And verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain. Now again, John the apostle, it's a vision. And he to a high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay? So I want you to notice this new Jerusalem, this capital city of the new heavens and the new earth, that I want you to notice that the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ are foundational in the New Jerusalem. Now, I've got my theological partner, Gino, who understands these things. And what that's showing us, you may not know this. I want you to know this. I want you to be a well-informed follower of Jesus Christ. It shows God's purposes in using Israel and the church throughout all history and for all eternity. Now, next week, I'm starting a series, and I've titled it 2020 in the year 2020. 2020 meaning vision, seeing clearly in the year 2020. A lot of crazy things are going on in our world, and I want to help us to see clearly in the midst of all the chaos. But I will tell you this, that from the beginning, in the middle, and in the end, God uses Israel and the church as part of his plan. And we'll be talking about that, how... You know, if God loves Israel, I love Israel. Okay? All right, let's continue. Verse 15. And the one who spoke, this angel, with me had a measuring rod, had like a measuring tape, of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies 4 square, which means it's a cube. Its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. 12,000 stadia is the equivalent of 1,380 miles. Its length, its width, and actually its height as well. Okay. He goes on, he says, the wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold. This is amazing, like clear glass. How can a city be pure gold? This is what John saw. It doesn't necessarily mean literally every inch of it was pure gold, because pure gold is going to kind of be soft. We're going to be walking, because it's really moldy and softy. It's like clay. It's what John saw. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. I know, honey, you're liking this, because my wife is a big jewelry person, okay? Every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, and he goes on and names a whole bunch of different, 12 different kinds of jewels. And verse 21, and the 12 gates, now listen to this, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. Now, a gate, that is one big old irritation if you know anything about how pearls are made, right? Right? That's a, you're talking about a gate being made, carved out of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I mean, this is beyond imagination. You can't imagine. I can only imagine, but we can't imagine, like that song says. Can't even imagine this. This is what God has for us. Verse 22, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple, a temple is a place that represents the dwelling of God. So in the Old Testament, the temple was a literal building where people met. Now, a lot of people think the church, they say, we're going to church, and they think the church, this is the dwelling of God. No, it's not. You don't go to church. We are the church. So the church gathers, okay? But in this particular case, there's no need for a gathering place because it says, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. There's no sun, there's no lights, there's no need, because the essence, the radiance of God brings us the light that we need. Now, I want you to notice some things that will still exist in the new heavens and the new earth. I want you to notice this. It has ramifications for us in our world affairs. It really does. Look at verse 24. By its night will the nations walk. Hang on a second. There are nations in the new heavens and the new earth? Yes. Yes. God created the nations. Now we're going to talk about this when we look at 2020 in 2020. There are nations that are there. He goes on, and it says, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. There are kings in the new heavens and the new earth. I thought Jesus is the king. He is the king. But he loves to share leadership. There will be leadership in the new heavens and the new earth. And responsibility will be given to people in heaven. You say, what are you talking about, Joe? I thought we'd get there and we just play harps and sit around and, you know, worship Jesus. Listen, there's stuff to do, but it's a joy to do it. See, the curse, part of the curse was that women would have pain in childbirth and that men would have to toil and work hard, but the work that they tried to do, it would resist. So when you're trying to loosen the nut on the bolt to fix the truck, it doesn't turn. And when you do get it to turn, it cuts your finger, right? And when you're trying to take care of your grass, it burns up because the sun's too hot. There's not enough water. If you get too much water, you get a fungus, right? And we all go to work, and things are always broken, but not in the new heavens and not in the new earth. But we, those of us that are faithful in this life, will be given responsibility. There are no elections, by the way. I don't think there are elections. I think God appoints those who were faithful in little things to have leadership and authority with big things in heaven. You didn't know that about heaven, did you? Okay. I'm just reading the scriptures, and I've done some reading on this in addition to this, but it's right there for us. We'll continue. It says, by its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. So this is what you call heaven daylight savings time, okay? It's always beautiful. It's just always beautiful. It's just always, whatever the best part of the day for you is, well, that's what it's going to feel like to you. There will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. How can this be? I'm just reading the scriptures, guys. I didn't write this, okay? I'm just telling you what it says. And see, we want to do away with nations, right? And sometimes we don't realize, we don't have 2020, we're in this world, and we start hearing things, and wow, it sounds good, wow, it sounds right, and we don't understand that God has a purpose and a plan because we don't read the scriptures. But when we understand the purpose and plan of God, and we start to understand, hey, wait a second, God created nations? You mean there was, and there was another time when all the nations tried to come together at a place called Babel, and God said, no, 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 don't do this. I said, be fruitful and multiply. So God confused them, confused their languages, and they went out and created nations. That's what God has determined would take place. So when we want to have 2020 in the year 2020, we have to know the scriptures. We have to understand, and then maybe we have an idea of understanding what's taking place. Verse 27, but nothing unclean will ever enter it. Those gates are open by day. They're wide open, but nothing unclean ever comes in, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, what I want to do is I want to go to the last chapter, and we're going to finish on time. I hope you're being encouraged, and I hope that you're seeing that this we have some amazing things in store for us. Some of you are looking forward to, man, I can't wait till COVID ends so I can plan my vacation. Great, I want to plan a vacation too. But I tell you this, the one that we have before us is like none other. It's like none other. And it never ends. You don't have to come home. You just go, and then we stay. So let's look at a marvelous scene from the throne of God and the Lamb in the New Jerusalem. Chapter 22, verse 1. It says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There's a river that flows from the throne of God and Jesus through the middle of the city. And on the side of this river is the tree or trees of life with 12 fruits and leaves that bring healing to the nations. Verse 3. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. Verse 4. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Be careful about being too much against tattoos. Some of you older people, traditional people, go easy on that, because I'm going to have a big old tattoo on my forehead. It's going to say Jesus Christ. It's going to say a son of Jesus Christ. Or something like that. I don't know. But I'm going to see his face. Do you know that when you see the face of Jesus, you'll melt? You'll just melt, because he is everything that's good, everything that's right, everything that's pure. He just is. He just is. And we get to see him. We get to see his face. And actually, the scripture says that we become like him because we're changed on the inside. And his name, man, I want his name. I can't get a tattoo. I was getting ready to get a tattoo, and then I got my hip replaced. And now they tell me that if I get a tattoo, I could get an infection. It would travel to the hip, and that would be really bad. So I can't. But all I wanted to get was a little cross, a little something, a mark of Jesus. But I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it right on my forehead, because I want everyone to know that who he is in my life. It says, verse 5, and the night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And this concludes the vision that had come to the Apostle John. That's the vision is now over. There's a little more scripture, but we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to hear some now concluding words from John. He's going to now comment about this vision he's received, and from Jesus. Okay, so let's look at verse 6. And he said to me, this was Jesus speaking, he said to John, he said, now John had this vision given to him, he saw it, and then Jesus says, these words, by the way, John, are trustworthy and true. This is Jesus' stamp of approval. These words, some people were saying, I know with Revelation, Joe, wow, it's a lot. There's a lot of judgment. It's just, you know, it's kind of getting depressing a little bit. I understand, and we're going to wrap up today. But I want to tell you that these words are trustworthy and true. And we don't have to always like what we hear from the Word of God, but we need to know it. They're trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, see, God had been telling the prophets all along about the coming of Jesus Christ and all of the things that we've learned about. They didn't know. They just knew bits and pieces. But the it says, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Jesus is telling John, I know it's 2,000 years ago, but he's saying to John, this will soon take place. You say, Joe, it hasn't taken place. It's not soon. Well, with one day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So don't confuse our time with his time. It's going to be soon. Verse 7, and behold, I am, Jesus, I am coming soon. I'm coming back, John. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. You know what blessed means? Happy. Very simple. And happy are those of us who hear the words and walk with the words of what's happening in the future, walk with those in mind. Verse 8. And then John speaks now. He says, I, John, I am the one who heard and saw these things. I'm the one. I'm telling you, I wrote this vision down, and don't be, I heard and saw these things, and when I saw them, he tells us, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. Okay? So John is now actually telling us he made a big mistake. He fell down to worship at the feet. There was an angel that was showing him, taking him on this journey, showing this. I think of it's like when you go to Disney, and, you know, you get in one of those things, and it takes you on a journey through, like, Alice in Wonderland or different. I haven't been there for a while. But and they're telling you about all the different things as you go. This angel was a guide telling John that Jesus showed up, and God showed up, and there were a lot of things he saw, but showing him what's going to take place. And John, he says, and at the end, I fell down at the feet of the angel to worship him. But he said to me, the angel said, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant, the angel, servant, with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Worship God, he says. Don't be falling down and worshiping me. All I am is a fellow servant. Worship God. Can I encourage you with something that I think is a good word for all of us? Let's worship God. Not just here, not just here, in our lives. So for me, it's been evolving, okay? And so now, so yesterday I was out there, 103 degrees, Tanya, you think it was hot? I was out, so I played golf on Friday afternoon at the hottest part of the day. I barely even sweated. And then yesterday I got up early and I did like 4 or 5 hours of landscaping, planting rocks at one of our rental houses. And I got home, and I said, now I can get ready for Sunday morning. It was about 3:30 when I got home, and I turned on some music that really connects me to God. And I sat there, and my wife, she came out. I do love you, but he comes first. She came out, and I'm just like, she says, I'm getting ready to go. I was like, go. That means I got that from her dad. He used to do that. When he wanted something, he'd shake his head to the Italian bread or to the oil that he wanted with the mom. But I was just telling her, hey, this is Joe and God time. And I put on some music that helped me connect with God. And you know what I did in my backyard? I worshiped him. I just worshiped him. And then I got up early this morning. Remember, I told you that the Lord told me, he said, Joe, if you want me to use you when you preach, spend time with me. The more time you spend with me, the more powerful your sermons will be. And I said, yes, sir. But here's the deal. I love spending time with him. I didn't always, because I didn't know what to do. I would get there, okay, Lord, you know, thank you for this day. That's how we all start our prayers out, right? You know how I start my prayers out now? I just sit down and I smile. And I said, I can't believe I have time to spend with you. And I don't say a word. And I just think about how much I love him. Now, I've been doing this for a while. I've been chasing him for a while. Why don't you start your chase? Why don't you start running after him? Stop. Listen, the money is never going to be enough. Okay, the relationships, they'll never be enough. Whatever it is that you're chasing after, I promise you this, that Jesus is more. He's more. And if you'll begin, start, listen, I'm telling you, I was out very early this morning, and I was out there. Did you hear the music? Did I wake you up this morning? You didn't. I had it real low. In fact, when I went to sleep last night, I had the music on it, and she woke me up and said, can you shut it off, please? I'm trying to go to sleep, and I shut it. I can't get enough. I just can't get enough. And it's because of how great he is. So when I stand here and tell you that I pray, I'm not saying, hey, look at me, I pray. You don't understand. That's not me. What I'm saying is, oh my gosh, I'm finding him. And now that's all I want to do. He says, if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. You start where you are, and you begin to worship God. Worship God. Verse 10. I got to wrap up soon. And he said to me, this was now, it gets confusing, but the angel says, do not seal up the words of this prophecy of this book, what we just read, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't seal it up. Now, when he had met with Daniel hundreds of years before and gave him prophecy about some of these things, he told Daniel, the angel, seal up the words, just seal it up. But to John, the angel says, don't seal it up. Why? For the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. It's like he's saying, I want you to let people know what's coming and let them choose how they respond. See, when it comes to following Jesus Christ, you're not doing him any favors by following him, and neither am I. We're not doing him a favor. He's God. He's going to he created it all. He's going to make it new, and he says, I love you. I want you. But then he says, John, don't seal it up. Get it out there and let people decide what they want to do with their lives. Verse 12. Behold, Jesus says, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is coming soon. Verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates, those gates that are open. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Blessed are those whose robes, whose lives have been washed with the blood of the Lamb. Outside are those who embrace sin. They just embrace it. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Let's wrap up. the Spirit and the bride say, come, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. When we come to Jesus, what he gives us can never be taken away. It can't be bought. It's free. And he says, come, come. A final warning. Verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. We don't mess around with any of the scriptures, but particularly don't mess around with Revelation. Well, I don't understand it. Just leave it at that. Just say, how many times have you heard me say, I don't fully understand it. I know Jesus wins, but I'm not adding or taking away anything from it. Okay? I don't recommend you do that either. And final words. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. And then John says, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Have you had your robes washed? By robes, I mean your life, your clothes, your life. Have they been washed? Have you come to the Lamb of God in faith and laid your life before him? You say, Joe, I don't know if I can do all this praying that you're talking about. You don't need to. I didn't do that when I started. I came to Jesus as a sinner, broken, lost in my sin, and I came to him saying, would you please have me? And you know what he did? He wrapped his arms around me. I was 22 years old, growing up in New York City, knew nothing about God, nothing about Jesus, and I had started to go to a church because I was so lost. And I came to him, and he put his arms around me. And when I said, I want you, Jesus, please, would you have me? And his arms wrapped around me. And he put, figuratively, a robe on me. It was a robe of his righteousness. And he said, now you're mine. And he said, for the rest of your life, Joe Centineo, you will walk with me. And that walk began that first time that I came to him in faith. Have you come to Jesus? I didn't ask you if you come to church. I know I could say everyone in the room right now has come to church at least once. But coming to church doesn't change where you're going to be for all eternity. It's coming to Jesus. And I want to give you the opportunity right now, this morning, to come to him in your heart. So let's just do something that is really done for the privacy of the people that may just want a moment of privacy. Let's bow our heads and just close your eyes. And I want you to think about where you stand with Jesus. Have you ever come to him? Have you ever given him your life, acknowledged to him that Your clothes are dirty. You have sin in your life. I did, and I do have sin in my life. But the righteousness of Christ forgives my sin. You say, how many? As many as I commit. But the closer I get to him, the less I want to sin. The more I want to live like him. Have you ever come to him? Let's do that now. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And then at the end of the prayer, I'm going to ask you to let me know that you prayed that prayer by raising your hand. You can pick your head up. And at the end of the prayer, you'll raise your hand. And when I see you, when we make eye contact, then you can put your hand down. Because I just want to know that you've opened your heart to Jesus. So let me lead you in a prayer. And you pray this quietly from your seat, but in your heart to God. God, I come before you, and I know that I have sinned. I've done things wrong. Now I'm going to let you elaborate for a second. But if you're ready to acknowledge to him that you have sin in your life, go ahead and do that in your own words. Just let him know. You don't have to list them all. Just let him know that you fit the bill. Sinner. Scripture tells us all have sinned and fall short of God's standard of perfection. Just let him know. I agree with you, God. I'm a sinner. If you believe, okay, so now if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he rose again, and his death on the cross, the blood that he shed, it paid the price. He substituted, he paid your bill. If you believe that Jesus' death on the cross paid for your sin, tell him you believe that. Jesus, I believe that when you died on the cross, then when you rose again, that your death paid the price for my sin. I believe that. Just tell him if you do. And here's the last thing I want to ask you to do. I want you to, in the best way that you know how, that I don't need to tell you, just you stand before, just ask him, Jesus, come into my life. Open your heart to Jesus. And in your own words, Jesus, come in, save me. Save me from my sin. Fill my life. Teach me how to live. Just invite him in your heart, right from your seat, right there. Now, if you prayed that prayer, now is when I want you to just pick up your head and raise your hand so I can see it. Okay, great, great. Okay, anyone else? I'm on this side. Okay, yep, okay, great. Anyone else? Okay, great, awesome. Anyone else? Just give you a second. If you pray that, I'm not trying to, listen, he doesn't need us. And I'm not trying to get you to do anything that you don't want. But if I saw your hand, great. If I didn't see your hand and you prayed that prayer, let me see it just so I know. Probably not even going to tell anyone, okay? Lord, thank you for the way that you touch hearts and lives. Thank you for letting us know about our future home and the things that are coming. And I know we have a while to wait for all these things. We got millennial kingdoms and tribulations and things like that. But Lord, I thank you that right now, today, each one of us that believes in you can experience you to the fullest in this life. And we'll keep doing that until you come, and it's going to get better and better. Help us to know that, Lord, for those of us that are suffering and that are struggling and that are facing difficult times, help us to know it only gets better. And, Lord, we're going to patiently wait for your return. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.